7:45 on a Saturday morning. Time once again for a wine chat with our friend Jack Farrow from Haskell's. Good morning, Jack.
Hi, Demi.
How are you doing? Things? Oh, everything is great. 60 Good. Degrees. It's a beautiful day.
We've been blessed with several in a row.
We really have been.
Nice.
And what's on your list of things to chat about today?
Well, you know what I'm going to talk about today is the classic French picnic wine. Somebody asked me the other day, they were going out on a picnic, what wine would I suggest? And I immediately said Beaujolais, because that's what the French call a picnic wine. And they're absolutely right. Beaujolais is perfect. It can be chilled. It's often called the red wine for white wine drinkers. If you like white wine all the time, try a Beaujolais, you might be pleasantly surprised, as it's light, it's fruity, it goes very, very well with informal picnics, and it's an interesting wine. The area of Beaujolais is pretty big. It's about the same size as all of Burgundy and Chablis and the Mâconnais all put together, and there's about 50, 60,000 acres of grape under cultivation in Beaujolais. The principal grape type there is the Gamay grape. Now, the Gamay grape has a bad reputation because of history, because the Dukes of Burgundy back in the 14th century outlawed Gamay in Burgundy, calling it an evil grape, etc. But it found its home in Beaujolais. In Beaujolais, the area of Beaujolais is south of the Mâconnais, so it's south of Burgundy entirely, and it's almost abuts the Rhone Valley on its southernmost end. And it's so pretty. The area of Beaujolais, the rolling hills, etc., the food is very simple. Gamay was considered a peasant wine. And, you know, they had a noble history because the Romans planted vines there a long time ago. As a matter of fact, the Gamay grape, they said, is from a Roman grape called Gallus. That was crossed with Pinot Noir and thus produced a Gamay that evolved through the centuries. And Beaujolais has had a sort of a black eye, and that was because of the extraordinary popularity of Beaujolais Nouveau. Nouveau Beaujolais, you know, started really 100 years ago, when the Beaujolais producers would be the first one to get to Paris with the wine of that year. And it was very popular. You know, there was no way to age wines 130 years ago. So they'd bring everything in big barrels, and the closer you got to the bottom of the barrel, the more oxidized the wine became, wasn't so tasty. So those new wines were much, much sought after. And they would say the Nouveau has arrived, etc. Well, it took a fellow by the name of George Dubuff to really commercially popularize that in the early 70s. And that's when Nouveau was introduced in the United States. And Nouveau is released all over the world on the third Thursday of November at midnight, actually at 12:01 in the morning. And it's become so popular all over the world. I remember talking to Charlie Boone one time when the Nouveau was released in Minneapolis, and he had remembered being on a Good Neighbor tour to Singapore. The restaurants in Singapore had the Nouveau Beaujolais signs in the window. Hmm. And that, you know, was how popular Nouveau Beaujolais got. But at about 2002, around there, there was a big scandal, and over 1 million liters of Nouveau Beaujolais had to be destroyed because it was considered tainted. And that was the beginning of the end for Nouveau Beaujolais. It's still very nice, and it's drinkable, etc., but around the world today, it's about 25% of what it was at its peak. So it's dropped that much in popularity. It's still a wonderful wine. It's a great celebratory wine to drink the first wine of the vintage. The French have a saying, if you drink Nouveau in the year it's made, you'll have good luck all the following year. And I can say from my own drinking of Nouveau, that's been true. But Nouveau isn't really what Beaujolais is all about. And it's so wonderful to see that we're back to liking Beaujolais. You know, Beaujolais, they even make a little bit of white Beaujolais. It's not that good a wine. I'd say you're better off to buy a Mâconnais than a Beaujolais Blanc. But they're interesting, and it is a lot like a Macon or a St. Véran, but I think you get a bigger bang for your buck drinking a Macon or St. Véran. And that a little bit of the history of the area, they even make a little bit of Beaujolais Rosé, but again, that what you really want to concentrate on is the red wines. And there's several types. There's simple Beaujolais and then Beaujolais Village. Beaujolais Village has probably an extra degree of alcohol in it, and that's the only difference there. Then we get into the cruz of Beaujolais, and that's where Beaujolais really does shine. Beaujolais is divided into north and south, like many areas of the wine world are, and the Beaujolais, the cruz, are named after villages, and they're very different in character. Probably Bruy, Chérobles, and Régine are the fruitiest, most forward, and without a question, Bruy is the most popular of those three types. Then you get into Côte de Bruy, Fleury, and Saint-Amour, and those have a little more body, a little more interesting. The Saint-Amour was supposedly named after Roman soldiers, so you see there's some history to all of these things. Then the biggest crews, the four last ones, are Chenas, Julianas, Morgan, and Moulin-Avant. And Moulin-Avant translates windmill, and this is the finest, in my opinion, and it's the northernmost grown of all the Beaujolais. In fact, when it's the only Beaujolais that takes a little bottle age. You can have a Moulin-Avant that's several years old, and believe me, it is a wonderful experience. I once had one that was 23 years old, and you couldn't tell whether you were drinking a Beaujolais or a fine old Burgundy. It's that good. They're aged in oak casks, and they're cared for, those Moulin-Avants. That is the biggest and most popular of big-time Beaujolais. But at the other end, you know, there's a bunch of négociants. Maybe 30 people, companies, dominate the Beaujolais trade, Dubuff being the biggest of all of those companies. But even the houses in Burgundy, such as Montmassin, Bouchard, Latour, all have arrangements in Beaujolais where they bottle Beaujolais, and they do a very good job. Beaujolais today is made by carbonic maceration. This is a very interesting way of fermenting wine. It's whole cluster fermentation. So in other words, they don't just ferment the berries. They take the whole grape cluster, put them in these enormous vats, and then seal the vats. And what happens is the wheat of the top grapes crushes the weight of the bottom, and they start to make wine and release carbon dioxide. And that goes up and ferments the grapes as they're sitting in their cluster. So that carbonic maceration ensures good fruitiness, and that's probably the most common way the wines are made in Beaujolais today, with that carbonic maceration. And that's why they're fruity, forward, quite frankly, delicious, and easy to like. I mean, you don't want a complicated discussion of the quality of Beaujolais. It's really meant to be sort of a quaffing wine, and thus, in my opinion, why it's called picnic wine. It's perfect if you're having a picnic. You chill a bottle of Beaujolais, a jug of wine, a loaf of bread, somebody you enjoy being with, maybe a hunk of cheese or sausage, and I'm telling you, you have a meal, in my opinion, that's fit for a king, and you have a wine that's fit for a king, too. The Beaujolais is, as I said, an often overlooked wine, and the lighter Beaujolais are good with picnic fare, such as salads and burgers and even hot dogs. The Beaujolais goes pretty well with a hot dog. And the bigger wines, like the Bruy or something like that, would be bigger with if you were going to grill steaks or something along those lines, or Moulin-Avant, as I said, is the very best of all of them. So Beaujolais really deserves, in my opinion, a second look. I mean, it's got its ups and downs, and today I think they're back on track. They're doing much, much more with the crus of Beaujolais, which are important, but even the regular Beaujolais, and it's an inexpensive wine. I mean, you can buy a very, very good Beaujolais for around $10 a bottle. It'll be drinking pleasure, and if you shop around a bit, you could even find some of the crus at reasonable values, in my opinion. They're are just delicious, and whether you're buying a Jadot or a Bouchard or one of those normal crus of Beaujolais or a Latour, you're going to have a very interesting experience. The wine is delicious, and it's really great for picnics.
All right. I was looking at a text that just came in, Jack. You were mentioning last week, is the Sancerre Rosé in yet?
Yes.
Ah, right.
The Sancerre Rosé is in all Haskell stores, and believe me, they were tasting it, and they'll be tasting it today. It is absolutely delicious and worth a trip to your favorite Haskell store, because Sancerre Rosé is, in my opinion, a real summertime treat. There's very little of it made. We're fortunate to have a little bit, and believe me, if you want to taste an interesting rosé, try Sancerre Rosé. Mm. Maybe have it with a Niçoise salad. I think that'd be a marriage made in heaven.
Or, you know, if they want to check out any one of the Haskell's locations for Beaujolais or Burgundy, whatever you talk about.
Whatever wine you want, Haskell's is sure to have it. That's why we're called the wine people. Haskell's has over 20,000 different SKUs of wine. No one can match that, believe me. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. There's Haskell's in Bloomington, Chanhassen, Haskell's in Excelsior, right at the Excelsior dock if you're on the lake. Haskell's in Faribault off of 35. Our super cellar up in Maple Grove is not to be missed. Saturdays, there's free parking at the downtown Haskell's on 9th Street. Haskell's in Plymouth, St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury. And don't forget, go to Haskell's.com if you can't go to one of our stores, visit our website, and you can see our summer catalog, or go to WCCO.com/wine. It'll take you right to the Haskell's website. And by the by, a great gift idea is Haskell's boat cruise on the St. Croix. You can call any Haskell's store for details. It's August 26th. It goes from noon to 3 o'clock. There's craft beers, craft whiskeys, lots and lots of different wines to choose. There's food. It's a glorious outing on the St. Croix. It's on the 26th of August. It goes rain or shine. Call any one of the Haskell store for further details, or you can pick all those details up on our website.
Excellent. Oh, that sounds like a fun time. Well, Jack, let's talk some more next week. What do you say?
Oh, and you get to see the new bridge on the
there you go, an added
underneath.
An added feature.
It's a sight to behold.
I was just talking to someone today, one of our news people, that said it's beautiful.
Oh, it is a beautiful bridge. It's easy to see how they spent so much money making it. When you look at it, when it's done, it's absolutely stunning.
Oh, that's fantastic. Jack, 1 week from today, let's get together.
I'm going to look forward to that.
Thank you, Jack Farrell from Haskell's, next week with more Wine Chat.